welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 categories smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, by Susan Cain and edited by Ashley Butcher. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Why shouldn't quiet be strong? And what else can quiet do that we don't give it credit for? Susan Cain explores the topic of introverts by sharing extensive new research, citing examples of powerful introverts throughout history, and by sharing her own personal experiences. This book is full of useful information for introverts and extroverts alike, and is a must-read for anyone who wants to dig deeper into the why of social interaction. We'll start with the first big thought. Mighty Likeable Fellows, The Rise of the Extrovert Ideal. Quote, when they embraced the culture of personality, Americans started to focus on how others perceived them. They became captivated by people who were bold and entertaining. End quote. At the turn of the 20th century, there was a shift in our culture. Our social structure changed from an agricultural society to an urbanized powerhouse. Previously, we had been living in what author Susan Cain refers to as the culture of character, where the ideal self was described as serious, disciplined, and honorable. We all know the strong, silent type, the John Wayne character. Eventually, a shift in ideals occurred, ultimately creating what is called the culture of personality. Quote, the new economy called for a new kind of man, a salesman, a social operator, someone with a ready smile, a masterful handshake, and the ability to get along with colleagues while simultaneously outshining them. End quote. In this new era, and still to this day, Americans began to pay particular attention to how others perceived them. We saw this idea permeate many facets of society, including parenting. Experts in the 1920s advised parents to help their children develop winning personalities. They would, quote, focus on the everyday child with the maladjusted personality, particularly shy children. They claimed shyness could lead to dire outcomes, from alcoholism to suicide, while an outgoing personality would bring social and financial success, end quote. Many, like Cain, would argue that we have shifted too far into revering personality over character. The next big thought, charismatic leadership. How important is it? Nowadays, we tend to think that becoming more extroverted not only makes us more successful, but also makes us better people. Do we need to be an extrovert to be a successful leader? Many schools and businesses operate on such a premise. Now, new research is finding that the extroverted and charismatic leaders do not always equate to better performances. Quote, if we assume that quiet and loud people have roughly the same number of good and bad ideas, then we should worry if the louder and more forceful people always carry the day. This would mean that an awful lot of bad ideas prevail while good ones get squashed. End quote. Studies done on group dynamics suggest this is exactly what happens. We perceive those who talk more often as smarter, as opposed to the more reserved, quieter people, even though intelligent tests prove this to be inaccurate. Cain points to Adam Grant, a Wharton management professor who has spent a considerable amount of time studying the relationship between leadership, introversion, and extroversion. Grant recently conducted some studies with the hypothesis that, quote, extroverted leaders enhance group performance when employees are passive, but that introverted leaders are more effective with proactive employees. End quote. Why would it matter if the employees or workers are passive or proactive? Grant thinks that introverted leaders work well with initiative takers because introverts are more inclined to listen to others and are not as interested in dominating social situations. Extroverts, with their natural ability to inspire others, are more suited at getting results from passive workers, but risk losing others' good ideas along the way and allowing workers to lapse into passivity. The next big idea. Temperament, high and low reactivity. Quote, some say that temperament is the foundation and personality is the building, end quote. One of the most fascinating parts of the entire book described multiple long-term studies done by Harvard scientist Jerome Kagan on personality and temperament. Kagan's studies have brought great insight to children's emotional development. Quote, Temperament refers to inborn, biologically based behavioral and emotional patterns that are observable in infancy and early childhood. Personality is the complex brew that emerges after cultural influence and personal experience is thrown into the mix. End quote. Starting with four-month-old infants, Kagan performed a series of tests exposing the children to new experiences and recorded the infants' responses. Some children Kagan dubbed highly reactive infants. The remaining children stayed quiet, moving their arms and legs only occasionally. These children Kagan referred to as low-reactive infants. Years later, the same children came back for follow-up tests and recorded their reactions to more events. Interestingly, the same children who were labeled high-reactive as infants had developed serious and careful personalities. The low-reactive infants were more relaxed and confident children. In other words, the high-reactive children are introverts, and the low-reactive are extroverts. Highly reactive children tend to pay more alert attention to people and things. They use more eye movements than other children to compare choices before making a decision. They also tend to think and feel more deeply about what they've noticed, spending more time looking at people and things and concentrating on tasks when compared to low-reactive children. The next big thought is reward-seeking. What keeps you going? Quote, introverts are geared to inspect, and extroverts are geared to respond, end quote. What is it that makes some people more likely to take risks and seek out rewards more than others? To illustrate this more clearly, Kane divided the brain into two parts, the old brain and the new brain. The old brain is comprised of the limbic system. It's our emotional and instinctive center. Part of the limbic system houses the reward-seeking, pleasure-loving part of the brain. The new brain is the neocortex, which evolved thousands of years after the limbic system. This part of your brain is, quote, responsible for thinking, planning, language, and decision-making, some of the very faculties that make us human, end quote. It's our rational center. Although the old and new brain work together, sometimes they're in conflict with one another. Using scanning technology, we can see that extroverts are more susceptible than introverts to the reward-seeking parts of the brain. Some scientists even think that the reward sensitivity in extroverts is what makes them an extrovert. Quote, extroverts' dopamine pathways appear to be more active than those of introverts, end quote. Positive emotion seems to be the underlying driver in extrovert behavior. This positive emotion is achieved, quote, in response to the pursuit or capture of some recourse that is valued, end quote, which can manifest as wealth, success, sexual experiences, and alpha status, among many other things. The next big thought is the free trait theory, the fixed and the free. Quote, we are born and culturally endowed with certain personality traits, introversion, for example, but we can and do act out of character in the service of core personal projects, end quote. The definitions of introvert and extrovert are clear, but thankfully we are not bound by those definitions for every moment of our lives. According to Professor Brian Little, humans have the ability to act out of character, and we can do it well, especially when it's in our personal interest to do so. The idea of being able to act outside of the definitions of introvert and extrovert is called free trait theory. Free trait theory is crucial because it explains how an introvert can also be an extremely engaging, entertaining lecturer like Professor Little, for example. We can play the role of the opposite type when it is necessary to something near and dear to our hearts that requires us to do so. Kane declares, quote, when people are skilled at adopting free traits, it can be hard to believe that they are acting out of character, end quote. This holds true for a number of examples Kane mentions throughout the book. An introvert temporarily acting like an extrovert might experience discomfort and even exhaustion, but it explains how people can sometimes do things that might otherwise be out of character. The final big thought, tips for parents of introverted children. Quote, one child is given a lightsaber and the other a wizard's education. The trick is not to amass all the different kinds of available power, but to use well the kind you have been granted, end quote. Introverts and extroverts interact with each other every day. Even though they may not always have the same styles of work and play, they do have a great deal to offer each other. Research suggests that extroverts conversing with introverts feel safer talking about deeper issues, and introverts can be very happy to be tugged alongside to a more lighthearted place with extroverts. If you're the parent of an introverted child and you are not an introvert yourself, it can be difficult at times to understand your child's actions. Luckily, Kane has some suggestions for parents of introverts. First, try to understand and be accepting of your child's personality type. Do some additional research on introverts and try to find out what makes your child tick. Second, introverts are often more sensitive to novelty. While it's important to try and expose your child to new things, introverts are especially sensitive and may need a little extra time to warm up. Expose them gradually to new situations and people, respecting your child's limits. Give them the time they need to prepare and let them jump in once they're ready. Kane also suggests teaching your child self-coaxing skills while they're young, while there's less stigma associated with social hesitancy. Kane suggests that you arrange social encounters that are friendly and pleasant while setting a good example. If your child's not clicking with a particular child, don't force it. Early social situations should be positive and encouraging. So there we have it, Susan Kane's powerful insights for shifting the paradigm of social behavior and success. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.